From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio on WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, this is ESPN 1000. It's Miller time, and it is flowing fine at the Howard Street Inn. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
I love your mom, and I'm sad that she's leaving. Barb, you don't have to go. Barb does not have to go.
She has to get home before dark. She doesn't like to drive in the dark.
Okay,
I hear that all the time.
I understand that.
When she wants to leave the grandkids.
Okay.
But you know, grandkids are running around. My kids are running around, driving everyone nuts. You know, I got to go. I can't drive after dark.
Well, I understand that. That's not her. You think that's her just giving you an excuse because she doesn't want to have to deal with rowdy children.
She went to Deer Path with a few months ago, like a month ago.
Yeah.
And she went after dark. She drove home.
Did she?
And she pranked me. She tried to prank me. She called me when we got home and said that she got pulled over by the cops.
Come on.
Because she didn't know her way home, and they were asking if she had been drinking. She doesn't drink. And I'm like, legitimately concerned.
Yeah.
I'm like, so what'd you say? And then she goes, I'm just kidding. I'm like, that's a stupid prank.
I love her even more now than I did before the story.
It's not even
a good... Yeah, it is. Your mom used a cop prank on you. It's awesome. You know what? She can't go any higher on the Silverman Power rankings for me.
No, she said that she got pulled over and she's in the... She's downtown.
And then, you know... Downtown Lake Forest?
And you got to go pick her up. That's different. That's better. But okay, they pulled you over because you're an old person who can't see outside. At night. Was that rude to say that?
Yeah, it was. Your mom, for crying out loud.
We're at the Howard Street Inn. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. Waddle's been drinking the Miller Lights.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, why wouldn't I?
Yeah, we're having a great time. Great crowd here coming by. Plenty of room for you over the next couple of hours. No Justin Fields this weekend. Andy Dalton will start for the Bears. Why don't we hear from Matt Nagy? Because he set the table. And then I want to get into some of the Bulls' goodness from last night. This is Matt Nagy setting the table on Bears' injuries.
Good to see Roquan back out there some today. So we'll see where he's at. Most likely end up being a game-time decision for Roquan. And then the good news here is that intention to activate Tevin Jenkins tomorrow. That's, you know, for us. So, you know, between all of the injury stuff, I think for Tevin, he's worked really hard to get to this point. And now, you know, our intentions will be to do that and to activate him, which will be good. So Justin will end up being doubtful. Roquan Smith will be questionable. Cole Kmet will be no designation expected to play. And then A-Rob will be doubtful. Mario Edwards will be out. Goodwin will be out. Hicks will be out. And Damian Williams will be out.
So there you go.
I got to tell you, I don't know why, but his last several press conferences have sounded more normal to me. Haven't they to you? Like there's less talking in circles.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying that that should extend his stay in Chicago. All I'm saying is for whatever reason, he sounds more normal now than he has.
Do you think it's the Fields factor? With Fields out, he's more relaxed?
I don't know.
I'll give you a dollar. I just took out a dollar. This is a game that you always like to play. I'll just give you a crisp $1 bill.
That ain't a crisp. That's a crinkled dollar.
It's been in my pocket for a while.
Yeah, so it's not crisp.
So if you could even name, JR, you have not looked at Bears Twitter, have you, at the Bears
No.
Twitter? I'll give you a dollar if you can name one of the three Bears captains for this weekend.
One of the three Bears captains for this week.
Yeah, they always tweet out, hey, here are week 10 captains. Here are week whatever captains. This is week 13. And they tweeted out our week 13 captain.
I'm going to give you one.
Yeah.
Larry Borum.
Larry Borum. You do not get the dollar. Can you keep going?
Okay, how many guesses do I get?
I want to see how many
guesses do I get?
You could have three guesses, to name one of the three captains. And then after that, I want to see how many guesses it will take you to name one captain.
What? What the hell did you just say?
So for the dollar is on the table.
Okay.
You know what? I will give you the dollar if you get the captain with unlimited guesses.
Oh, really?
One of the three.
One of the three, I'm going to say, Christian Jones.
It is not Christian.
He was a captain last week against Detroit.
He deferred. After Detroit deferred. Remember that?
Yes.
That was the funny thing.
J.P. Holtz.
J.P. Holtz is not a captain.
Damir Bird.
Damir Bird is a captain.
Yes, thank you.
You got it. Very good.
Good night, everybody.
That was good. The Bird Kid. That's how you said it.
Yeah.
Damir Bird is a captain.
Wait. No, don't tell me. Let me get a couple more dollars from you.
No more dollars.
Really? Come on, give me a chance for
one more dollar.
One more dollar. You're going to have to stop by the cash machine when you go to Pole Cats again tonight.
Dollars don't get you anywhere.
Next captain is going to be Tease Tabor.
Tease Tabor is not a captain. What about D. Virgin? That's a real bear, by the way. They just signed him to the practice
squad. D. Who?
D. Virgin.
You said that was your nickname in high school.
In high school. They would point at me as I'd walk down the hallways in Niles North and goes, look, it's D. Virgin.
Sweating. Pat O'Donnell.
Pat O'Donnell is not.
Cairo Santos.
Cairo Santos is
their long snapper, whatever his name is.
Isn't does J.B. Holtz long? No, he's a
tight end.
Who is their long snapper?
Jesse James.
Jesse James is not a captain. The captain game. Can I end?
You got Travis Gibson.
Travis Gibson is not.
Hightower. Who's 44? Alex. What's his name? Ogletree. Ogletree. I don't know.
Not
a captain?
No. It is.
No. I want another guess.
I will give you initials. Let's see if you can get it even with an initial. A.B. and M.C. A.B.
Mark Carrier.
A.B. and M.C.
One's a defensive lineman, right?
Yes. You just did their game against the 49ers. Shouldn't you have memorized
that dude didn't make any tackles, so.
All right, it's Marquis Christian, the defensive back.
Okay.
And it's Angelo Blackson.
Okay, he's not been bad this year.
Marquis Christian, Angelo Blackson, and Damir Bird. It's just another reason why there shouldn't be rotating captains. There should just be.
Why do they do that?
To honor different guys, I guess. I don't know.
It doesn't make a ton of sense.
Pretty silly.
To me.
Yeah. I want to talk some Bulls here too.
Okay. Unfortunately, you and I were out last night doing an event, so we didn't get a chance to see the game. But
we were at Lake Forest Hospital, Northwestern Medicine. We got a chance to speak to the staff. We got, it was funny because they wanted to hear about sports,
right?
And
You and I aren't going to talk about medicine.
We're not here to talk.
You credit shy of our medical degrees.
You know, Lionel and Sylvie, we want you to talk about the new Omicron variant.
Tom, what do you think about heart surgery?
We were talking about
it's cool,
and so we were giving them sort of a state of Chicago sports, and at halftime. We read the Bulls score. I think they had 69 points at halftime.
Nice.
And
it was like a 17-point lead.
Yeah. And the next thing you know, we're going to our car, and you go, what's the score? And I go, it's tied. We're like, whoa, how's it tied?
We have seen big swings in both directions with this team in the early part of this
season.
They
can come back from virtually any deficit, and they've given up some big leads, you know. But, again.
And they did give up this lead. They came back, but they did give up this lead.
But again, on the road in New York, Julius Randle doing his thing, that they got the scoring from the big three. An 88-point combined score between DeMar DeRozan, Vooch, and LaVine.
I saw Vooch had 27 points, including 5 of 9 from behind the arc, which is a great sign.
He's getting started earlier now, so he's put together two really good games. Not good games, really good games. Those shots are starting to fall. He's starting to get into the rhythm of the offense and how they play off of each other. And when they need baskets, when they fall behind by a point, a couple of points in the fourth quarter, on the road – they go to DeRozan.
Yeah.
And DeRozan stabilizes them.
Well, I think he leads the NBA, does he not, in fourth quarter scoring?
It's incredible. I've got the stat right here. Fourth quarter scoring in the NBA. Total points, okay? 165 points for DeMar DeRozan. He's first in the league. To put that into context, the second closest is 22 points behind DeRozan. It's Jason Tatum from the Celtics. He has 143 points. Coming in third in fourth quarter scoring is Zach LaVine with 142. So you have two guys who have done it well in the fourth quarter. And it's another reason why I like this team. Like we used to say with the old Bulls with D. Rose, if you want to stop the Bulls in the fourth quarter, you can double Derek, put LeBron on Derek, and then no one is really there to create their own shot. DeRozan could get his own shot. Zach could get their own shot. And then the other guys just play their roles perfectly.
I think DeRozan is averaging what? It comes out to be almost 8 points per fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I thought I saw that as well.
It's incredible.
True closers.
It's fantastic to see.
By the way, did Randall get some preferential treatment last night? Was that the word?
I think the free throws were about even. The Bulls
by the way, speaking of free throws, I think they hit 20 or 21 free throws last night as well.
And Randall missed a couple free throws down the stretch.
Yeah.
Those were big that he missed. Did you see Caruso's line, by the way?
I did not.
The ultimate utility guy, right? Six steals, six rebounds, six assists. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, 6'6"-6". He's the devil. He's the basketball devil.
Yeah.
It's a fun team.
It's a fun team.
It's a fun team even when I don't get a chance to see their games because then I'm at another event. So when we talk about it the next day, it's still a fun conversation.
Let's hit a couple of these highlights. I want to play this. Both of these happened earlier in the game. Chris, can you play some of the fun highlights from last night?
LaVine to Vucevic. Left it short. Caruso, the offensive rebound. Oh, left it for Vucevic.
Late getting over, but early for a poster.
There is Rose. Knocked away by Jones as Rose trying to set it up on the roll action. Dosunmu for Caruso.
Oh, AC. Turn up the AC. It's hot in Madison Square Garden.
Like, if I would have told you 2 months ago
that
Io would be throwing alley-oop passes to Alex Caruso in a game, NBC Sports Chicago for the highlight. You know, on a team that has 15 wins, did you see what I tweeted out last night, too? That the Bulls won their 15th game last night. 3 seasons ago, just 3 short seasons ago. Do you know the date on when they won their 15th game?
February 20th, my birthday.
February 22nd.
Really?
Yeah. You saw it then.
No, I did not. That was a
guess. That's basically 3 months. You know, that's 2.5 months.
It's great to hear the excitement from Adam and from Stacy. And Stacy is back to basically deciding that the Bulls have never committed a foul in a game.
They're great, though.
They are fantastic. They make the broadcast so exciting and so much fun. But it just I love the hometown call really you basically have to cut off an opponent's limb before that our group will tell you that we actually committed a foul.
Lonzo didn't commit a foul there. So the Bulls win last night. They gave up a big lead, but again, they closed. DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Vooch having a good game, a bunch of guys playing roles, athletes, guys playing defense. It's great to see. All right, coming up next, we will go around the NFL. We'll pick some games. Does Carmen like the Bears with the points, or is he taking the Cardinals? Find out coming up next.
Live from Niles and the Howard Street Inn, this is the Waddle and Sylvie Show, presented by Miller Lite.
We're on twitch.tv. Follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Let the Miller Lite flow.
The Cardinals are going to do game time decisions on Kyler Murray.
Are they really?
Yeah, I think they're going to keep it open for them.
I think you made a really good point yesterday.
Can they get away with not playing him? I think it's going to be, I think it's less, if this was a must win game for them,
or
they were playing a good team, I think they would play.
I'm with you, and listen, a lot of times good teams, they make these decisions, and they don't play their guys because they're afraid of injury, and then they go out there and they end up getting beat.
Yes.
But I think what they have proven recently is that they're in decent shape with Colt McCoy.
They don't play and they beat the Bears on the heels of Tyler Huntley beating the Bears. That would be something. Carmen DeFalco is brought to you by Tavern on the Point in Edison Park, located at 6724 North Northwest Highway.
Been there.
Tavern on the Point is the perfect spot to mingle with friends, eat a great meal with family, socialize after work, or host a private party. Visit them at tavernonthepoint.com.
I can speak to that being a fabulous place, as can Chris and Adam, I believe. They've done a
great place.
Great place. Yeah, good place.
Let's bring it up with Carmen DeFalco right now. Carm, has the Bears line moved considering the news that Kyler Murray could be game time?
Last time I checked, it was still 7. I think everybody's anticipating or leaning towards the fact that he will play, and I think that's the kind of the way it's going to – I mean, if we get definitive news, something could pop quick on Sunday. But and I'm just trying to pull it up on my app right now.
Would you stay away
actually
from that game?
Yeah, I've got nothing. You know, maybe because of the weather. If Kyler does play, I think, and Furman was making this point, Todd Furman with us earlier today, weather coming into play a little bit. If it is going to rain and slow down that track, like, it's not a great field to begin with. We all know that. Maybe an underplay or at least a first half underplay makes sense, especially because Kyler and Hopkins haven't been on the field in about a month, maybe even 5 weeks for DeAndre Hopkins. So I think that if anything, if you're desperate to play, the angle would be probably something with the total, even in the first half, either in the first half or for the game. And then as far, you know, the Arizona, look, they've done well even without him. They've won games on the road with Colt McCoy. Waddle made the point earlier this week. They are a perfect 6-0. On the road so far this year. They've given up, I think they're only giving up 16 points per game on the road this season. So lost in all the hoopla about their offense, and rightfully so, is the fact that AZ's D has played pretty well. They're fourth overall, guys, in total DVOA on the season. It's a pretty good team.
It's crazy, Carmen. Like, to give you even more stats, they're fifth in yards allowed with 318 per game, and they only give up 18.5 points per game. So defensively, they are a good squad. All right. Do you want to go to the college slate for tomorrow, or what has got you more excited? Is it the college games tomorrow or the NFL games on Sunday?
Well, I don't think it's a great NFL card this weekend. I mean, look, the college, yeah, there's always the possibility for some chaos, so that's probably a fun place maybe to start. I mean, we could see some chaotic things happen tomorrow, let's face it. It could make Sunday fun when we get to the selection show.
All right, so let's start with the night game, the Big Ten championship game. You've got Michigan. I think they're, what, an 11-point favorite?
Yes.
But how much do you buy into the concept, especially with college kids, a letdown basically after what we saw from their game against Ohio State?
I think you got to factor it in. This is not a game I'll be playing. There's really nothing about it that I like. I think you hit it on the head with some sort of natural letdown. Yes, they have a lot to play for, a win, and they're going to probably make the playoff, but there has to be a natural letdown. That's the biggest, most significant win for that program in a decade, period, end of story. Right. They left a lot out on the table. They played great in that second half. There's no way they're not going to be flat, especially early on. If anything, maybe Iowa in the first half is the play. Again, if you're sort of dying to make a play on that game. I know the Iowa fans have not been happy with me this week, my youngest brother included, because he is a proud grad of Iowa. Watching, I joked earlier, I'd rather watch Gone with the Wind than watch Iowa play offense. It's a joke. Northwestern, guys, Northwestern, which ranks 120th in the nation, averages more yards per play than Iowa. They're barely inside the top 100 in the nation in offensive points per drive. They're 89th in offensive efficiency. I know Petrus is coming back, and I suppose that helps a little, but they are brutal offensively, and it is painful and, quite frankly, disgusting to watch. They are a good defensive team. So that'll probably keep them in the game, and there does have to be some sort of natural letdown for Michigan.
I love that you rant against the Iowa offense.
Oh, it's awful.
This earlier real quick, though, Carm. Like, a loss to Iowa will trump the win over Ohio State in ways that you can't even describe. Like, if they lose to Iowa on Saturday night, that big win over Ohio State, completely forgotten.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like just like that. I mean, they got a lot on the line here still. So, you know, Iowa first half, I guess, is probably the one thing I would say in that game that could make some sense.
All right, Big Cat told us on Tuesday that the game of the year is Georgia -6.5. Do you agree?
Well, that's his best bet of the year, huh?
The best, wow. And he upgraded it to the game of the year on our show, so it was a big get for us.
Well, do you guys know the last time, first of all, do you guys know the last time Alabama was an underdog?
I heard you say it on the show today, forever, right?
October of 2015. They were a two-point. They've been a favorite in 91 consecutive games.
That's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. They were an underdog of 2 points. I knew we'd get that. They were an underdog of 2 points on October 3rd of 2015, playing at Georgia. They beat Georgia 38-10. I don't even know the last time they were a touchdown underdog or thereabouts. Furman thinks it was in Saban's first year, which, what is that, Abdallah, 07? Yes. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Alabama's been this big of an underdog in, what is that, 14 years? Think about that for a second. I mean, it's incredible. It's almost too enticing, if you ask me. I don't
have a strong position.
They're not, Tommy. I get that. They're not. And Abdallah and I were talking down the line about this. I mean, he's the Bama guy, and even he doesn't feel good about it. I get that. They're not. It's still Nick Saban preparing for a game that they have to win and have to look good doing so to get into the playoff. He doesn't want to be at home for the playoff. Georgia does not need style points, even if Georgia were to lose. Win or lose, Georgia's going to be in. My other concern about Georgia here is just they haven't been in a close game in forever. And what happens if they're in one on Saturday? They haven't been in a close game since the opening weekend of the year, guys, when they beat Clemson 10-3. Their average margin of victory in their last 11 games is 36.2 points per game. That's insane. They've given up more than 9 points once in the last 6 weeks. They haven't been in a close game. I'm interested to see if Alabama can keep it close through the first couple of quarters of how they respond. Again, I don't have a strong position, certainly not as strong as Big Cats. If anything, I would say it's a lot of points to give an Alabama-led team in a game that they have to win.
Before we go through a couple more of the big college games, there's a lot of these games that you don't love that you're staying away from. Is there a game that you do love this weekend?
I like the under in the Houston-Cincinnati game. I think Cincinnati doesn't need style points either. A win in Cincinnati is going to be in. At least that's what I think. And I think they will take care of business. I'm not going to mess with the line, though. I do think the under is probably a good play. Their defense is legit. You know, does it stack up against the SEC? I don't know. They're not playing the SEC yet. They're playing Houston, whose best strength is their passing offense, and I think that plays into Luke Fickell's hands. I think their defense will get the job done. I think Houston will struggle to score 21 or 24 points, and I do like the under in that game. The best stat of, like, all is the fact that Cincinnati's got a corner that in all likelihood is going to be drafted in the first round. And Waddle, I think maybe just the way he reacted knows the stat. He's played since he was a true freshman. He's played for 3 years. He's never given up a touchdown in coverage.
It's
never.
Crazy.
Never. Zero. Sauce Gardner has never allowed a touchdown in coverage.
And Carm, we could talk about how their conference doesn't really stack up with others, but they throw the hell out of the ball in that conference.
They do. You're right, Tommy. They throw it all over the place, and to go 3 years, and we'll see if he can do it for a couple more games. Cincinnati would love it, but that is just a staggering statistic. He is so much, like, he is leaps and bounds better than just about everybody he lines up against each and every week. Houston's got a pretty big-time wide receiver who's a pro prospect, but that'll be the interesting matchup to watch.
Carm, there's an interesting game tonight with Oregon and Utah. Utah boat raced the Ducks last time they played. This number's under 3, I think, at this point. How do you think this one unfolds?
I don't think Anthony Brown can play as bad as he did in that game 2 weeks ago tonight. Waddle, you're right. They boat raced them. That game was never close. They're also not in Rice-Eccles Stadium, where Utah has one of the best home field advantages, especially in a night game on Friday in the entire country. They really don't lose those games, and it totally got away from Oregon. I can't see that happening again. This is a neutral field, revenge on the mind, and let's remember that the Ducks are a perfect 4-0 straight up. In Pac-12 title games, and now they're getting about a field goal. I agree with you. I think Oregon bounces back tonight.
What about Oklahoma State-Baylor? It's a six-point spread.
Yeah, that's about a 5.5-6-point spread. Not too much of a feel for this game for me either. I will tell you that Oklahoma State is on a heater, boys. They're 9-0-1 against the spread in their last 10 games. I mean, it's just incredible. Mike Gundy himself has said when, you know, they got out of the non-conference, he said it this week. He goes, there's no way I envisioned us being in this spot. They got a lot to play for, too. Style points would probably help them. I love their defense. If anything, maybe a slight lean on the total in that game, but that's about it. Oklahoma State can really play some D.
How about on Sunday? What caught your eye?
Oh boy, it's it's not a great looking week, to be honest. I think Chargers are worth a look traveling on the road, even though they have to come into the Eastern Time Zone. I think the Chargers, last week that game, one pick was a little fluky, but there were a couple of turnovers that came back to haunt them. They're trying, and I think with each passing week, Staley is trying to reiterate to Joe Lombardi, they've got to be more efficient, more effective on early downs. They got to get the ball downfield more on early downs. They truly have a Maserati. It's not Maserati Mitch. It's Justin Herbert. They need to take advantage of that weapon more. I think they're trying to do it since the bye week. They're up to fifth in EPA per play since they came out of the bye in week 8. A lot of offense in this game. I think over could be a play in this game, too. There are so many weapons on both sides of the ball. And I'm not totally convinced Cincinnati's defense is as good as some of the metrics say. I'll tell you this. The Chargers' defense stinks. And I think Cincinnati is going to score some points. So over 50.5, I think, could be a good look in that game. And I think the Chargers are a little bit live as a 3-point
I think the Bengals at 7-4. I think that's kind of a hollow 7-4.
Really?
As much as they are my hometown team, I'm not so sure how good they are.
The Chargers have driven me crazy.
No,
I know. I know, Sylvie.
I cannot figure them out.
I don't think anybody can. I think, when that could be? You still have a young quarterback that's going to be prone to mistakes from time to time. You still have a young head coach in Brandon Staley who everybody was ready to anoint, but you got to learn. And I think all young coaches have to learn their way in this league. I think you're right, Sylvie. They've been very, very Jekyll and Hyde. They're a tough team to figure.
I got one more prop bet for you. -150 on Brian Kelly to speak Southern style in the next interview.
I mean, we had so much fun with that today, and I think we will continue to have fun with it. And I know you guys, it's the most unbelievable thing.
I'm here with my family.
My boys, I got one thing to say.
It's a great night.
A great day down here on the bayou and in Baton Rouge. And I just want to know, where am I going to go for the best collard greens in town? Y'all tell me now. I'm excited.
You do that if you're going to like a Division II school where no one's really going to hear anything.
No, do you ever do that?
Never.
Well, I'm saying if you're going to see it, you're definitely not expecting to see it from Brian Kelly, who's from
Boston.
When he goes to LSU.
Y'all didn't know this. It says I'm from Boston on Wikipedia, but I'm right down here on the bayou. I chase them Gators just like Coach Orgeron. I don't know y'all know that.
It's a great night.
Great old day.
So great. All right, Carm, good stuff.
Thanks, Carm.
All right, boys, have a wonderful weekend.
There you go. Carmen DeFalco brought to you by Tavern on the Point in Edison Park. All right, we got to get to Like It, Love It. And also, when we get back to the Bears talk, there's some more interesting quotes that I found on Twitter about Cliff Kingsbury hinting that his big guns may not play this weekend. It's interesting. We'll get into all that coming up.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Now, more Waddle and Sylvie.
Live from Niles and the Howard Street Inn on the ESPN Chicago app, on the FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000.
Having a great time here at the Howard Street Inn.
Some of the stars of the listening universe.
Some of our callers that you hear. I'm tweeting out a picture. All right, don't say yet.
Okay.
I'm going to give everyone one guess on which listener I just took.
He gave us
with.
A clue yesterday.
Yes, yes. I'm a hold on here. Just stand by.
Is he wearing a Fields jersey?
I am tweeting it out right now.
If you're correct, maybe we can find some Dan Marino paraphernalia for you.
Abdallah, you will appreciate the jersey that this person is wearing.
Yeah.
Not what I was picturing.
Not at all.
A lot of people would say to us, especially before like Twitter and before you got to see us in videos and different things, like, oh, your voice doesn't match the way you look.
Said he was going to wear this yesterday.
Yeah.
And he did not match what I pictured him. Driving around making the phone call. Not at all. I thought he was much older.
Really?
Yeah. All right.
And Wally. Wally's here, too.
Wally, whose daughter is an emerging Hollywood star, is here. He's called the show with some...
Wasn't Wally... The conversation we had with Wally was about Tom Brady's...
skin.
Yeah, very... Voluptuous skin? How would we describe
voluptuous.
It?
Voluptuous.
Probably not. I was trying to look for a good word. Delightful.
Me voluptuous,
smooth.
Maybe a little bit. But voluptuous skin.
Yeah, I don't know.
No,
I was looking for a good adjective, and I couldn't find one.
Why don't we get to
impressive?
Why don't we get to all the picks of the week with Like It, Love It.
I like it. I love it.
Just a little taste of it.
I love it. I want some more of it.
Whew.
Boys, what do we got? It's bad.
We
or
got
is
trouble.
Good?
The
is
boys
good
were
guys?
Cold. The boys were cold last week as Bleck and I both went 0-3.
Wow.
Romo gained some ground. Sylvie went 2-1. So now,
wow.
Whoa, look at us, old guys.
Bleck,
here come the old guys.
Has 35 points. Waddle and I are tied with 28 points, and Sylvie
yeah.
has 23 points.
I'm out of the team.
How many does Chris have?
35.
Wow, Chris.
Still got some distance to catch up.
Crushing it.
Some room.
I'm pretty sure I've also gone 1-6 out of the last 2 weeks,
really?
Too. And you guys haven't caught any ground.
Still a mile ahead.
You have gone 1-6, yes.
All right, you want me to get this dance started?
Yeah, get it started.
All right, here's my like. I'm going to go. I don't usually play favorites by double digits, and I especially don't usually play these favorites on the road. But I like Tampa Bay minus the 10.5 on the road against the Falcons. The Falcons are the fifth. When you look at point differential, they're the fifth worst team in the entire NFL. Even though their record doesn't look as bad as they are terrible. I think Tom and whoever's playing wide receiver this weekend, I think they roll. So Buccaneers minus the 10.5 is my like.
Okay.
I thought about that.
What do you got,
Adam? You're second.
Oh, gentlemen, I'm sorry,
going
but for the last time, we go to Saturday. I think Cincinnati's better than Baylor is. Baylor's dealing with some quarterback issues. Their starting quarterback has an ankle injury. We don't know if he's going to be playing, but I feel like what Carmen said is true. Cincinnati's kind of figured it out the last couple weeks, and they've kind of worked. They've kind of cracked their neck, cracked their back, gotten all of it, and
they're ready to go.
So I like Cincinnati minus 10.5 in this game.
I like the Dolphins. When I first looked at this morning, there was still. Daniel Jones' status was still up in the air, and the number was 4. It's gone up to 6. Dolphins are at home. They've won 4 in a row, and the great Mike Glennon is taking over as the starting quarterback for the Giants. So I like the Dolphins to keep that win streak alive at home. Going to be hot in Miami. Those New Yorkers ain't going to be able to handle the heat.
I like
the Dolphins
pick.
Minus 6.
I like that pick. Bleck, I'm going to go similar to you, not with the Bucs, but I'm going to take a big favorite. The Colts are coming off that stinging loss from last week. They're still playing really good football, and the Texans suck. The Colts are a 10-point favorite. I like them to win big in this game, so I like the Colts.
All right, let's go to the loves.
What do you love, Chris?
How about this, guys? Sunday night, Kansas City, Denver. Denver's actually in the race, surprisingly. And Kansas City is the favorite by 9.5 points. But their defense is terrible. They're giving up, they're 31st in the league in yards per play defensively. So I think the Broncos hang around in this contest. Go the other way. Take the Broncos plus the 9.5. That's my love.
They're one of my teams that I can't figure out. I get them wrong every week. Every time I think they suck, they're good. And every time I think they're good, they suck.
I think their defensive stats, too, are still polluted by what they did early in the season. Because the last 3 weeks, they've played the Packers, the Raiders, and the Cowboys. They've given up like 7, 14, and 9 points. Chris is right. Statistically, that defense still looks like crap. But I think they've been so much better recently. That one is that's going to be an interesting game. I still don't have a great feel for who the Chiefs are.
What do you got, Abdallah?
I meant to say Houston with my last pick. Not that I'm not taking Cincinnati, but that Cincinnati's playing Houston. I was looking down at my next pick because Oklahoma State against Baylor. I like love Oklahoma State minus 5.5. I was just getting ahead of myself. So everybody correcting me and saying Cincinnati's playing Houston. I know they're playing Houston.
Hey, bro,
I
they're
was
playing
foreshadowing
Houston.
To my next pick, which is Oklahoma
hey,
State.
Playing Houston.
Yeah, beating
Cincy
up on
and Houston,
Baylor.
Man.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. Yeah,
and Cincinnati's also playing the Chargers.
Like you guys never messed
That's
up at your
NFL.
Job.
Yeah.
My love, I went deep. I'm trying different angles.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the Vikings over 13.5 points in the first half. They're playing the Lions.
I'm on this game later, too.
Okay. I think that, you know, the tendency for the Vikings is to come out hot, go to sleep for about 30 or 40 minutes, and then try to scramble and score late to win games. So I've got the Vikings over 13.5 total points in the first half of their game against the Lions.
All right, I'm going to follow Big Cat. I'm not going against Big Cat. I'm going to take the game of the year, and I am going to take Georgia minus the 6.5.
Oh, man, thank you for the Bama win. I appreciate it.
You've been against them all year, so if that's what it takes for you, you can thank me later.
I got to tell you, too, I was leaning in that direction as well, but then I just have this vision, and it's probably just irrational that Nick Saban's going to find a way to keep this close.
I mean, look, he might keep it close, but Chris and I are going to be out at Twin Peaks in Oak Brook tomorrow. Come hang out, 11 a.m. I mean,
nice plug.
You dig into the numbers of this game, and like Bryce Young has actually had more time to throw the last couple weeks, the last three games, and he still got sacked 7 times. Like, look at their common opponents. Georgia has beaten all of their common opponents by like 21 points total. Like, it's insane. So I don't know how everybody's like, oh, Nick Saban. He hasn't done anything. Like, they haven't had a good win this year.
And like, he's not playing. He's a 70-year-old coach.
Yeah,
too, so,
like, what is Nick Saban going to do? Nick Saban's not blocking
right.
7 dudes coming at you. So Nick Saban, he can only do so much. And trust me,
Nick Saban.
Reading what he's been talking about this week, he does a show from Boomhauer's last night. He's setting this up for a loss too, because he's like, we don't take winning into account. We don't like enjoy winning too much at this program. It's like, okay, you know you're going to get your ass kicked.
Or that's full Lou Holtz mode right there. Too.
Oh, yeah. You guys don't respect winning. You guys don't appreciate how many games we win and that kind of thing. That translates to we know we're going to get our ass kicked this weekend.
Oh, stop.
All right, guys. Here's a lukewarm take to go with my taste. Ben Roethlisberger is one of the 5 bad worst quarterbacks in the entire National Football League.
Yes.
Lukewarm take. He's one of the worst quarterbacks. So I'm going Ravens minus the 4.5 because I don't think the Steelers will be able to stop or score on their own. So I'm taking the Ravens to win over the Steelers.
What about you, Abdallah?
There's a big total in college football. I'm going to take the over. Wake and Pitt over 71. Yeah.
I like that as well. My taste, I got to ride with Harbaugh in some fashion. I got Michigan over 26.5 total points in this game. I don't know if they'll cover 11, but I think at the end of the night, they'll find a way to get the ball in the end zone more times than not. So I'm going to say that Michigan will score more than 26.5 points.
I'm going to take the Vikings, for my taste, minus the 7.5. I know that's not a good number to take them at, but the Lions suck. I think the Vikings are sneaky good, and they score a lot of points.
Yeah.
And we saw that with Jared Goff or whoever, they can't score a lot of points. The Lions are terrible. We saw that on Thanksgiving. Give me a taste of the Minnesota Vikings. There you go. Like it, love it, just a taste of it. We've got that song, I think, to play in the 5 o'clock hour.
Oh, boy.
When we will get to the best songs we've received so far. We got another week to get the songs in, ESPNParody.com. But what to watch for is coming up next.
This is a Miller Lite Wall and Sylvie broadcast.
Live from the Howard Street Inn.
This is Chicago's home for sports. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
That's right, What to Watch For, brought to you by our great friends and partners at Swift & Sons American Steakhouse in the West Loop in the Fulton Market District. You know who's going to cook you up a great meal?
Chris Pandel.
Not just any meal, but he is going to cook you up a meal of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Chef Pandel is the best. So is Kevin Bame and Rob Katz. They make up the Boca Restaurant Group, award-winning restaurateurs. So good. A couple of years ago, they were named the Restaurateurs of the Year. It's like winning an Emmy or winning an Oscar, what they did with a Beard Award. That's a national award. And
sort of like you and I. Didn't we get nominated for some award?
I believe we are nominated for a Silver Dome Award.
Yeah.
From Illinois broadcasters.
Woo!
But have they been awarded yet?
That I don't know. But yeah, that's right.
Well, obviously not, because we're going to win it. And when we win it, we're going to be told that we won it.
All right. I look forward to that. So
I don't know what it signifies, but
back to Swift and Sons.
Oh yeah,
they're located in the Fulton Market District, open for reservations. Swift and Sons always take safety seriously. You're going to absolutely love it. Check it out today. They won the Beard Award. That's the name of their award. The James Beard Awards are huge. It's like the Oscars for restaurateurs.
It's fantastic.
All right, what are you watching for, Waddle?
Listen, there's so many low-hanging fruit options with college football championship games. And this has probably been mentioned. Maybe Chris mentioned this or Adam mentioned this, but I'm going to mention it again. I just started watching it again. There goes our handsome new boss.
Handsome
new boss.
Handsome man.
The morning show on Apple TV, season one was really good.
Oh, it's out?
I've watched the first, I think, four or five episodes. I think this season's better than the first season.
I do like it. It's Apple TV.
Yes.
When are they going to? Are they ever going to add Apple TV in an app with the Xfinity?
I don't have no idea.
Because I got to watch it. I only get Apple TV on one of my televisions.
Me too.
And it's
me
in
too.
My basement.
So I have to
it's
do it that way. Did one of you guys, Chris or Adam, did you talk about this earlier in the year?
Nope.
Okay. No,
I have not.
Maybe not on the air we've talked about, because I've definitely seen it. It's a good show.
I think season two has been, like I said, even better than season one. And I think they've done a really good job with this year. So I would advise you, when you find time, maybe give it a spin.
Steve Carell back too?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. I'll give you a couple. Like, I'll take one low-hanging fruit, and that's tomorrow night, Bulls and Nets, NBC Sports Chicago. The Bulls beat them at the United Center. I'm interested to see, now that the Brooklyn Nets are good and they're playing good basketball, they're now 15-6. Remember, after they played the Bulls, they were talking about how they're not in the Bulls' class. Well, they certainly are now. So how will the Bulls play in Portland? A, I want to watch that. So I'm watching for that.
Nets are the number one team in the East. The Bulls are number two.
Yeah, this is a great matchup. And you know me, every Bulls game right now is can't miss. But as far as a television show, I don't think you guys mentioned it last week. I brought it up to you guys off the air. I'm in for the Beatles documentary. It's on Disney Plus. I'm in for it. I think it's really long.
I heard it was really long.
But
8 hours.
It's the Beatles. Ooh. It's again. It's the Beatles.
It's fascinating.
And I hear the photography unbelievable.
This documentary is everything you want. If you want to be a fly on the wall in the studio with the Beatles, this is your documentary.
Have there been any other good Beatles documentaries in the past?
I mean, I don't know of any off the top of my head. I mean, they were always very artistic and great, but this access is fantastic. And
where has this video been? Like, you know, The Last Dance, all of a sudden.
Jordan,
you know,
owned it. Right. Yeah, Jordan had all the Beatles info. He had all the video.
So they brought these archives out to Peter Jackson, you know, the filmmaker, right? And he made this. The criticism is that it's too long and that they have a lot of slow parts in it. He said he was going to put as much in it as he can because he didn't know when people would get a chance to see this footage again. It is fantastic.
I'm going to watch for it.
Yes.
So I'll start that this week.
Good luck you watching 8 hours of a Beatles documentary.
I know. What are you guys watching for?
First of all, the last Beatles documentary was called A Bug's Life. Guys, I'm going to be watching Chicago's College Tailgate tomorrow at 11 a.m. out of Twin Peaks in Oak Brook. Come hang out. It's the last one of the year. It's Championship Saturday. It's going to be great. And then I'm going to drive Chris home, and then I'm going to sit on my couch, and I'm going to sweat for 4 hours as I watch the SEC Championship game. Because,
You don't want to come over?
I don't think they're going to win. No,
you
I
don't want
that.
Him. You don't want that no, maniac want that. In your house.
No, I've seen it.
My wife's going to leave. My dog's going to leave. Like, no, like, look, I don't think they're going to win. But come game time, of course, I'm going to be rooting for them to win. I want this team in the playoff. I want them to win. But it's going to be tough, and I'm going to be sweaty, and I'm going to be yelling, and it's going to suck, and it's going to be awful. But whatever, roll tide. Let's go.
I can't wait for the Sunday or the Saturday night. I told you so when Alabama wins by one.
It's so obnoxious.
Show me a metric in where Alabama is better than Georgia.
They're not.
Okay.
But when they do win.
Here's the thing.
When they do win, I can't wait to hear your I told you so.
You guys spend 5 days a week crapping on the Bears and then watch them every week. What's the difference? And then when you come in on Monday, you go, I told you they were going to get beat.
Good and the Bears are bad.
Well, when you know your team is going to get boat raced, you know your team is going to get boat raced.
I would think your dad would get the benefit of the doubt with all the winning he's done for you.
No.
Like, with the Bears, they have not earned the benefit of the doubt.
But again, like, look at the team. There's not a single area on the field where they're better. Okay. Running back. No, never mind.
You're right.
Because if they win, he's going to be like, I'm not upset. I'm glad to be wrong. They won. They won. That's all I care about. I'm an Alabama fan. Absolutely. You think I was rooting for them to lose? And then when they lose,
I don't sound
like
that.
Who's been telling you?
The only position on the field they're better is quarterback. But when your quarterback can't stay upright for more than 3 seconds, kind of a problem.
All right, Bleck, what are you watching for?
I give you guys a music doc 2 weeks ago. I'm going to give you another one. I started watching this last night, listening to Kenny G on HBO Max. It's actually really good.
Kenny G, really? Yeah,
seriously. If you appreciate people who love something that they do and they work really hard to become the best at it, that's what this dude is.
Does he play the clarinet?
No, it's saxophone.
Is he a saxophone?
Yeah.
When I took that Comrex unit back to to Boston,
they
for
thought you had one in the box.
My kids kept saying, "Hey, Dad, why don't you break out the clarinet and play for us?"
He plays the skin flute.
Excuse me.
What? Can you say that?
Yeah, he hasn't He hasn't even had a Miller Lite yet today.
Wow.
What a
wow.
Dick.
I don't think you can say that either.
Well, guys, listening to Kenny G, it's actually, I'm like halfway through. It's very good. It's fascinating.
That's a wind.
Are you sure he plays a saxophone?
He plays a soprano saxophone.
He's
the small one he plays is called a soprano saxophone.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can hold those notes, man.
Kenny G on HBO Max.
I'm serious. It's good. It's the same series as the Jagged Little Pill one.
What does that look
like? I don't know what that is.
It looks like a flute.
I told you.
It's a saxophone.
But I got ripped for it.
Listen, jock, you leave the music stuff to us.
Yeah, bro.
Just call me a jock.
Yeah, you don't know what a sax is.
All right, coming up.
You said sack, right?
Coming up in 2 minutes. Coming up in 2 minutes. There. Are the Cardinals going to say, hey,
who cares?
We could beat them with our backups. Are they approaching this game that way? I want to give you a little more stuff from Arizona. And,
starting to sweat.
Yeah, it's hot in here. It's Waddle and Sylvie. We're back in 2 minutes at the Howard Street Inn.